Hello and welcome to the Fifth Quarter Podcast.
And guys, we made it. We're officially on Apple Podcasts. So if you're listening on that, thank you very much.
Sorry, I don't have a soundboard. And
that was actually pretty impressive, though. That was pretty good.
Look, hey, finally on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. Now you have no excuse, even though you probably do have many excuses to not listen to this podcast.
They probably listened to our podcast as like they were approving and be like, oh, these guys are pretty shit, but we're going to put them
on. Yeah, no, we're not. Nah, man, we're like, what, two more weeks in? We'll probably end up forgetting about this podcast in a few weeks, but it's here for right now. So
no, we're good.
Okay. You're telling me somebody had to listen to this podcast to get it verified for Apple Podcasts?
I'm assuming.
I feel bad for whoever had to do it.
I feel very bad for them.
Oof. Hey, look, it took a bunch of weeks, but finally we're on it. So, guys, week six has ended. Just a lot of stuff happened. The New York Giants probably played the worst game that we've seen them. And
that was terrible.
Look,
that was a complete shit show. It makes me feel bad that my team needed a 63-yard field goal to beat them. But yeah,
you should feel bad about your team. You should feel very bad.
I'd just like to say I'm very pleased that I did not have to watch this game.
Yeah. I sadly had to watch it. I was a Giants fan, so
I was doing homework, and you know
I don't
what?
Value my time, so I chose to watch it.
Look, biggest thing was Saquon Barkley's performance, 13 rushes, 130 yards, one touchdown, 10 yards per carry.
My question is, why are we opening up with the Giants? Did they deserve to be in our A spot on the podcast?
No, but they're the Thursday game. They're the first thing that showed
Everyone's
up.
Everyone's already forgotten about that game. It happened like
I know,
six
but
days
I'm just
ago.
I get that. It's the Giants are forgettable. But I think they should be mentioned because they shouldn't because Eli Manning's exists.
Right. I mean, so, one thing we can talk about Odell Beckham. His owner called him out today saying he needs to do less talking and more playing. And
I think his owner needs to go talk. Nope. I think his owner needs to go walk up to his GM and be like, hey, you better scouting, make better roster decisions because Eli Manning has not been good for like the past, 5 years?
I get Eli sucks, but Odell should not be calling out his teammates like that, especially like publicly. That's what I don't understand. Why wouldn't he keep it in the locker room?
Because it's whack and
because
he's got a No.
No, he totally is the D-boy wide receiver.
He is, but at the same time he's one of the most dominant players in the NFL. I feel like he is.
No,
I share a mixed reaction to what you just said.
Odell's not a dominant player at all.
Saquon's doing more for them than Odell is.
Because he has to. Okay, so here's a stat, right? That I found interesting. A quarter of Eli Manning's completions have been to Saquon Barkley.
Who the hell else is throwing the
ball to be honest. I believe Saquon had, 15, 16 receptions in a game, if I'm correct.
He gets targeted a bunch.
Since Eli can't throw the ball down,
he was targeted 12 times. He was targeted 12 times.
Yeah, it's – Saquon's a good enough player to where –
nine receptions
for 99
yards.
If drafting Saquon wasn't a mistake, I don't think, because he's going to be a really good player.
It's not a mistake.
It's just they really
needed
a quarterback.
Quarterback is more valuable than running back, and – if they plan on taking a quarterback now in the next draft, I don't know who they want.
Well, I do know how the GM operates because he was the former Panthers GM, and he's always been a believer of just drafting the best player on the board.
Oh, dang! He's gonna draft a bust quarterback.
Why'd he draft Cam Newton? There was
he didn't draft Cam Newton. Actually, that was before. But I mean, if you're taking shots at Cam, he won Rookie of the Year. So
that's okay. But, yeah, I mean, look, the Philadelphia Eagles have the 23rd ranked passing defense or passing yards or 23rd in passing yards given up. So, look, it's not like they were playing, shutdown defense. But at the same time, I mean, come on. Guys, keep in mind, Eli Manning, if I remember seeing the stat correctly, had 2 air yards in the first quarter.
Literally –
2 air yards. 2. 2.
We can all agree he's not good. He's not good.
I'm pretty sure he can agree. His father can agree. His brother can agree. And his brother can't even throw 10 yards down the field. So I think we all, we spent too much time on the Giants. Just know Saquon Barkley is worth the draft pick, even though, I agree with the argument that Eli shouldn't be quarterback and they should have drafted a quarterback. But Carson Wentz looked pretty good, and the running backs were all right. But
I mean, I don't know if the Eagles Giants are back because of winning that game. That game didn't prove anything for me with the Eagles. We'll see what they do next week against the Panthers. I'm hoping they don't win, of course.
Oh my gosh!
I just like to point out
the Panthers.
Can you guys go ahead and guess what Eli Manning's QBR was in the game?
Is this the 0-100?
QBR is the 1-100. Yeah.
0-100.
150.
I'm gonna
go with 100. I'm gonna go with 28.
I'm gonna go with
passer rating.
No, I think that's a little too low. Yeah, I'm gonna go with
get a 66 passer rating.
Yeah, it was
66
okay,
is
that's
bad for
pretty
passer rating.
Bad
yeah.
If you're going up to 158.
It's his QBR is worse. His QBR is much worse.
13.
Okay,
I feel like that's way
13.
Too low.
He had a 3.
Oh my gosh!
What?
If you want more specifically, a 3.2 QBR.
Jesus. Okay.
My gosh.
To Carson Wentz is 95.
I think the Giants have taken up too much of our time here for them.
But yeah, I just wanted to talk. Carson Wentz. Look, Carson Wentz in the last two games against Minnesota and New York, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. I think that's pretty solid.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
I mean, loss of Jay Ajayi is going to affect them, but I think that, you know, now that they're – Alshon Jeffery's back, had a big game. Zach Ertz is, I think – I remember going into Sunday, he was, like, the leading receiver, wasn't – I think he was the leading receiver going into Sunday.
He probably is.
So, I mean, that offense is good. I think it's just the defense hasn't clicked yet.
And, I mean, moving on, I mean, I say we can move on to another
NFC
East team. I just want to mention this for a little bit because this game was one of the more surprising results of the week. And
that
was the Cowboys just absolutely destroying the Jaguars. If you had told me the Cowboys scored 40 points against that defense, I'd be like, dude, you're crazy. The Cowboys
offense is trash. Are we sure that defense is still that defense, though?
I don't know.
They're still second in total yards given. I mean, they're ninth in scoring.
The Cowboys scoring
40
points is a huge deal for them. They had their next closest was them scoring 26 points. I mean, they've been struggling to get in the 20s in all their other games. So getting 40, I don't know how it happened, to be honest. The Jags should be a little worried, especially with Blake Bortles and everything.
I mean, look, the Chiefs only put up 30 against them, and that one of them was those scores was on the defense because of Blake Bortles. Yeah, I didn't watch this game. I don't know who's watching unless you're a Dallas or a Jacksonville fan. I don't know what you're doing watching a Jacksonville Dallas game, or Skip Bayless. But I mean, look, Blake Bortles, 15 for 26, 149 yards, a pick and a pick and a touchdown. I mean. I guess you want your quarterback to at least play well.
Jacksonville gave up over 200 yards rushing. That's
Zeke.
Not Jacksonville. Zeke only had 100, bud.
Dak hasn't even broken the streak of not throwing for over 200 yards. He only got 183, so.
Dak Prescott did break that a few weeks ago.
Oh, he did?
Guys, okay. Let's not forget. Look. I want y'all to just take a guess. Who had the second most receptions after Cole Beasley? Not even guess who got it. Guess how many? What was the
Who got the most Michael catches? Gallup or Jeff Swaim? I know it's those two.
Swaim. Guess how many receptions?
Three.
Two.
Ha ha.
It goes 9 for Beasley, 1 for Gallup, 1 for Swaim, everybody else caught one pass. I mean, no, they're not a good offense. If you get anything out of this
Looking
game,
at
it's
this,
just that it's a fluke. They're not a good offense.
That was going to be my question.
How did they score?
The Cowboys, did the Cowboys prove anything with this game?
No. No. But, I mean, they won, but I think this is more on Jacksonville. Jacksonville just hasn't looked like the team we expected them to be this year.
Yeah.
After they played New England, right, everybody was like, all right, they're at the top of the AFC. I mean, they're looking like the team we expected them to be coming off of last season. And you lose the Titans 9-6, right? You know what? That's a division game. Things happen, right? Everybody can have a sloppy game. But then you lose to the Chiefs 30-14. And I thought that the Chiefs would get I thought that they'd be wrecked that game, because I thought that, you know what, this is a good defense and the Jacksonville Jaguars can put up points. Blake Bortles has been a solid quarterback when Leonard Fournette has been injured. So I thought they were going to be able to put up points against one of the worst pass defenses in the league. And they didn't. They only put up 14. The defense couldn't stop them. And now you play the Cowboys, right? The Cowboys are one of the worst offenses in the league. If there's one thing that you get from this matchup, it's that they still have one of the worst offenses in the league. Dak's not been a good quarterback since his rookie year. And Zeke's dominant. But the O-line has also not been good. The defense has been solid, but their offense is not good. And yet you put up 40 points against what's supposed to be the best defense in the league, right? Against the best defense in the league. I don't understand.
This kind of stuff happens.
But okay.
Yes, but you give up more points to the Cowboys than the Chiefs.
I don't know the expectations you guys had for the Jags. I believe at 10-6, and that's,
I had them in the AFC Championship.
Okay, but you look at them even last year when you'd say, "Oh, they had a very successful season." Their regular season was very iffy. Like they went 10-6. They had some bad losses in there. I think last year was just a case of them getting hot at the right time in the playoffs. Last year, they didn't really impress me too much during the regular season. They already have half their losses from what they had last year. So, I mean, with the AFC actually being, I think, the better conference, I think as a Jags fan, they should be concerned with what their team's doing right now.
Look, your next two games are the Texans and Eagles. They both are tied in record, the Texans and Jags. It's going to be a big game for the division. But then you play the Eagles, who are starting to, you know, look better offensively. And I think that they'll probably be able to put up points against Jacksonville the way the defense has been playing. So, 2-3 weeks until their bye week, maybe they can regroup. But, I mean, I'm worried for them. The rest of the season following their bye week, I mean, their only big games are Steelers, Redskins for now, because the Redskins are a weird team too. But Redskins, Steelers, and Texans, I mean, they still have a chance to rebound and you know, win their division and maybe impress everybody. But if you're the Jags right now, you're worried. And, yeah, I mean, Jalen Ramsey was left speechless, and Lord knows that never happens.
Yeah. I also like to point something else out in the realm of baseball. The Astros just had 2 runs taken off the board for fan interference.
Wow.
I did not see that. I did hear about that.
Look, all I'm going to say is that
they'd be up 4-3 because Jose Altuve just hit a 2-run home run, but a fan caught it in the field of play.
Look, doing the podcast today was going to be rough because I'm still kind of tired from last night. I don't know if any of you guys stayed up to watch the game last night.
I stayed up as late as I could. I had a 9 a.m. No, so I went to bed at like 1:30.
I stayed up the whole time.
I know Bellinger hit that walk-off, so that was pretty clutch.
Yeah, no, it was it was like if that game went into the 14th inning, I was just going to turn off the TV and go to sleep. At that point, I was too tired. But then Bellinger hit the walk-off, and I was already falling asleep. So, yeah.
And I think that's all the time baseball deserves for this.
Wow.
I don't know if you guys will talk about this later, but, I mean, obviously, there's the game of the week between the Chiefs and Patriots.
We could probably talk about this at the end. I mean, it's probably the biggest game.
All right, so –
going on to see what other games there were. Tampa Bay lost to Atlanta.
A thriller.
Yeah, it was. I was there.
Atlanta almost choked it.
Yeah, I was there until like the end of the third, so I didn't get to watch everything pick up. But it was still pretty fun. Jameis played pretty well. I'll tell you that.
I do want to talk a little bit about the Panthers Redskins game just for a second, because I'm not going to mention the Panthers much later on in the segment.
Yo, Nick, you care about the Panthers right now?
No, see, with something I'm thinking about, we can actually mention the UFC here, because there's been some Nurmagomedov developments.
We can all do, we can do any, every other sport at the end, but...
No, but okay, going back to the Panthers-Redskins game...
Y'all just, lost!
I know we lost, and what concerns me is just...
to win the game!
The Panthers' coaching has been a little suspicious in the past couple games, and...
Ron Rivera being sus again.
Ron Rivera is not being Riverboat Ron, and that is what is concerning to me. He's being a little bitch. So I just don't understand. Like, there's early in the game where we didn't go for it on 4th and 1 and like close to midfield, and that could have changed the game completely. And just late in the game, after driving the football, just the play calls in the red zone were just terrible. And it, I mean, that's just the stuff that concerns me, because this is a game the Panthers could have stolen, even though they didn't play as well. Just the coaching concerns me for the future.
Oh, not again.
I mean, I don't know. It's whatever. The Panthers, I mean...
They made some bad choices.
DJ Moore was the reason the game was kind of caught left out of hand at the beginning after, I mean, he pretty much gave the Redskins a 14-0 lead. And it's tough for the Panthers to come back from that.
Man, losing this weekend couldn't be my team. Right, Nick?
Fuck off.
Your team won. That was the whole thing.
I mean, congrats.
I lost.
Not the Packers.
I'm talking
though.
About the Packers.
Oh, I thought you were talking about fantasy. Oh,
I got my... No, because I got
our
my...
Our defense still
fantasy.
Sucks.
And we'll talk about that later, too. Going
so,
down
I mean, the... I think there's really no other games that had too much interest in me. The Rams, they were able to win in cold weather, which was nice.
The Bengals blew it again.
The Bengals blew it. I mean, that's a big game. The Steelers are not...
I'll be talking about the Steelers later. Don't worry about that.
The Steelers are starting to pick it up a little more. I mean...
I do want to give a mention to Le'Veon Bell. There's still no confirmation that he's coming back this week.
See, I mentioned this in the previous podcast, and I like
that whole rumor was started by
the reporters are going to say
that was never verified.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are like, oh, he's coming back. Why would he do that?
I didn't believe that for a second.
You guys call my take shitty, but I warned you to. There should be a little bit of caution.
Joe Holmes is the only one. Don't be in with him. All right.
I feel like you took a neutral ground, so I'm throwing you in.
I didn't think he was coming back. I don't think he's coming back at all.
He has to come back.
He has to come back.
But he'll come. I don't think he's going to play a snap this year.
What? No. Whoa. You think that the Steelers are going to pay him however much money he's owed from franchise tagging? Like, there isn't like 20 or 30 something, or is that just quarterbacks? I feel like I'm giving too much of a big amount.
All he has to do is report. He doesn't have to play. He can refuse to play. If they make him inactive, that's on them.
Well, okay, that's going to hurt his value in the free agency, though.
I legitimately don't think he cares.
He should care. Why wouldn't he care? He's doing this for money. That's literally the reason.
In his mind, he
out.
Knows somebody's going to pay him this money. Somebody will.
I mean, that can't be guaranteed, though.
You know, I feel like I totally overshot how much the actual – because I remember Kirk Cousins was like 30-something million. Sorry. I'm trying to find what his actual franchise tag amount is.
Kirk Cousins isn't on
the
franchise tag.
Kirk Cousins, okay, how the franchise tag works, I believe.
Oh, 14.5 million. I'm so sorry. I'm 20-something million off. I was thinking about quarterbacks. It'd be a $14.5 million franchise tag, even though the Steelers offered him a $13.3 million contract.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but I believe how the franchise tag works is they take the top five at each like position, like paid at each position. They average it.
They take the top five players and average it.
And they average it. Okay, yeah. So it goes by position.
Man,
and
I can't. I hope that the Giants just someday franchise tag Eli Manning.
I don't know how much he has left on his contract, but I can tell you they're not going to re-sign him.
But, yeah, no, Le'Veon, I mean, I'm pretty sure, yeah, he has to come in for free agency purposes.
He can refuse to play. He just has to report to the Steelers.
But you're not – why wouldn't they play him? You're paying a player
– I don't want to play.
Look. If I'm paying a player $14.5 million, right, he's going to get on the field. Unless he's a quarterback, he's getting on the field.
I mean, he's not going to get that whole salary, though.
He's not.
He's already lost.
No, I get that, but if I'm paying him a hefty amount, right, I'm going to make sure he plays. James Conner be damned. He's playing.
Again, an unsightly injury may come up for Le'Veon
look,
Bell.
Look, fantasy-wise, and anything I read fantasy-related, right, not that fantasy has to do, not correlates with everything in real-life NFL, because Tyrod Taylor was like a top 10 NFL or fantasy quarterback, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. Look, he was supposed to touch the ball 500 times, right, or something like that, about 400. He was supposed to touch it a bunch of times. Look, if you're paying a player like Le'Veon Bell what he wants to get paid, you're going to give him the ball, right? You're going to want to have to use a tremendous talent like Le'Veon Bell. You're going to use him. There's no reason not to.
Okay, they can't pick him up and force him on the field.
To be honest, I don't know how that would work if he just refused to.
I feel like he wants to play.
He might still get screwed out of being a free agent this year. They might not classify that as him being back.
And even then, if he doesn't want to play, won't it be more negative? Like, won't it affect him? It'll affect his future contracts.
Exactly, yeah. And I think Nick doesn't think that's a big deal to him, but like, I think that is a big deal to him.
Like, Nick, I understand the fact that he doesn't want to, he might not want to play. Here's the thing, right? I'm pretty sure from what I've read, he wants to be a Steeler. It's just that he feels that they're not paying him fairly. This isn't about money. This is about money. But at the same time, the reason his argument is different than most players is because of his value. It's because his value towards the team. He was their number two receiver. He probably is his number two receiver. Coming back, he'll get the ball more than Juju receiving wise. You have to factor him in the receiving game. He's an amazing running back. That's why he wants his money. It's not like Odell or Antonio Brown who want their money because they're top receivers. We know why he wants money. I think that he has the best argument for a contract because of his what he does on the field, because he's a Swiss Army knife on offense. He's like Taysom Hill on steroids.
We all know this.
So, anybody like the fact that they're in Taysom Hill?
Great player.
No. Terrible player.
Great player.
But, okay.
You're just mad because an in-division rival has him.
I'm mad because Joe Buck and Troy Aikman jack off to him every time he plays the Panthers.
Oh, watch some vulgarity there.
I do want to move on to another game. I know Nick was watching this with me, and that was the Dolphins-Bears game.
You watched the tail end of it.
We watched the overtime in it.
Garbage mess of a game.
Kenyon Drake got saved.
Did you say Kenyon? It's Kenyon.
Whatever.
He can't pronounce the ethnic names, Johan.
Wow.
All right. I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, he got saved by his kicker in that game and his defense. Of course, fumbling at the one-yard line. When your team's about to score and win the game, that is a tragic mistake. I think he was crying at the end of the game because he that he got saved.
Guys.
Oh, boy.
Brock Osweiler, Frank Gore, and Albert Wilson just had the most outrageous stats this game. I don't know how.
Well,
Brock Osweiler has no reason to be on any NFL field. Osweiler, Nathan Peterman is the only player that I could willingly say that's worse than him.
I've heard that Brock Osweiler, I think I saw a stat on Twitter, that he's 3-0 against the Bears in his career.
He beat the Bears, the Texans, the Broncos, and now the Dolphins.
That's so weird. But look, Brock Osweiler, 28 for 44, 380 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, 2 picks.
So we do need to mention this because we brought up the Jags defense. What's going on with the Bears defense?
No, we're not doing that. I'm not. No.
Why?
Because they only gave up 10 to the Bucs.
Congrats.
Their last look, other than this game, I mean, they gave up 31. That's fine. But in their last few,
I think
they gave
we can agree when
the
Brock
Packers,
Osweiler 17, throws for almost 400 17. Yards. That's an issue.
Or it's a fluke.
That's an issue.
It's a fluke. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the first 3 games looked really good, didn't he?
But this is Brock Osweiler. He's so bad.
I still believe it's a fluke. Come on.
I mean, the defense isn't what they were against the
I don't
Packers.
Think it's all what it's hyped to be.
It's not.
It's one game, guys. This is their worst game this season. And I guess I'm also being hypocritical because I don't afford that one game luxury to other teams. But I think for the most part, look, these next 2 weeks, this last week and this week, I expect them to look bad.
They're going to get torn apart their next two games.
Well, okay, I expect them. I mean, it's New England. They could go either way. New England, if you have a decent pass rush.
So how can you call a defense really good if they play bad for four consecutive weeks? That's a quarter of the season.
Four consecutive weeks? Hold up. So they play the Dolphins. Against the Bucks, they
played bad.
They dominated. They won 48-10. What do you mean played bad?
I'm talking about the Dolphins guy.
Okay. You lose to the Dolphins 31-28.
Played bad against the Dolphins.
You play bad, right? You play bad against the Patriots. You get the Jets, Bills to get to rebound, and then you play the Lions. And all three of those offenses you can handle. The Vikings game, I do worry.
I'm telling you right now, they're going to struggle with the Jets. They'll struggle with the Jets.
No, I think they'll be fine.
What are you basing this off of? Off of the first half week one performance against the Packers?
No, I'm basing it off the fact that they've done it all season. That the defense has played well all season.
Then why are they 3-2?
Who, the Chicago Bears?
Yeah.
Because you had one of the greatest performances of all time by a GOAT quarterback, right? With one leg.
Okay, so their defense can only get it done for half a game.
I don't think the coaching staff trusts.
Guys, they're fourth in points allowed. They're 10th in yards allowed.
They're somehow still 3-2.
Because of Aaron Rodgers and the offense.
Why was your defense not able to play in the second half?
Okay.
Against Rodgers.
Okay. I get that. I get what you're saying.
How are you going to give up almost 400 to Brock Osweiler?
It just happens.
You got wrecked by Brock Osweiler and Frank Gore. In year 2018, that should happen to nobody. That secondary is suspect.
Look. I get what you're saying, but I think this was more of an off week. I think the defense will probably do a lot better against the Patriots. You look at the box score and you won't say that, but I think that they'll probably do a lot better against the Patriots.
We'll see. I bet you the Patriots score 30.
I bet they do too, but that's because
that's not playing well. If you allow 30 points, it's not
to the Patriots.
Johan, hold on. I want to get where you think the Bears are in defense. Are they an elite defense?
Yes.
Then they shouldn't be allowing 30-plus points consecutive weeks. I don't care who they play.
For real.
I think they'll be fine. I think that the Bears' defense will be fine. This Miami game is just a weird game.
I don't consider them elite. I consider them
pretty good.
Good. Yeah.
Right. They need to get a secondary first.
I'd agree with that.
And they need to have a pass rush that's effective for more than half a game.
Moving on, what other games were let's see, the Rams beat the – I'm just looking at other games. Seattle beat Oakland 27-3.
The discussion of the Packers game.
Pretty good games. I say we can go with the Packers or we can go with the Patriots game.
Let's talk about the Packers.
I'm just mentioning the other scores in the league.
We can run through that real quick then.
So we talked about the Bears. Let's see. Chargers beat the Cleveland Browns 30-14. Now, Hayden,
surprise.
I do remember what? You did want to mention something about the LA Chargers.
All right, yeah, this is a little bit of a segue. I like it. So as we all know, the Chargers have struggled to gain fans.
But they've been a pretty solid team the last two seasons. 4-2 this year.
They have been a pretty solid team. I mean, they got off to a rough start last year.
A solid offense. Melvin Gordon's been pretty good. Phillip Rivers has been solid. I mean, they're exciting. An exciting team. The defense is solid.
It's kind of weird. Like, I guess there's not enough fans in LA. I mean, there's a bunch of people, but I feel like in LA, there's just a bunch of, like, Raiders fans and Niners fans, and they've kind of just, like, lived with that, and LA's not wanting to get a new team. I mean, even the Rams are kind of struggling to sell out games, and they're 6-0. They're the best team in the NFL.
I remember going into the playoff game last year against the Falcons. I remember just looking at they were showing, like, an all-around view of the stadium. It wasn't as packed. It didn't look like a playoff game.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the Rams. That's the better of the two teams. And the Chargers, I mean, there's a report that came out today by ESPN, Seth Wickersham, and he said that the projected revenue for their when they go to their new stadium in Inglewood decreased from $400 million to $150 million. Now, this is revenue. This isn't this is just what's going in. So they could actually lose money in the future depending on what their expenses are. And I think that's a major concern, and the NFL obviously is concerned about that. I mean, I looked through their attendance numbers. They only have a 27,000-person stadium. They've played three games in there this year and haven't sold out one. They haven't sold out a single game at home.
In a soccer stadium.
In a soccer stadium. And if you look at the fans in the stadium, half the fans in the stadium are from opposing teams. So if if you don't get those opposing teams fans in there, is anyone really showing up to the games? No. And it's really sad.
Did you mention the seats in StubHub, the stadium where they're playing at the moment?
The capacity?
Yeah.
Yeah, 27,000 is what I said. Yeah.
So if you can't that's what baffled me, man, when they originally made the move, right? So going in, I'm like, all right, the Rams used to be in LA. Maybe. The ideal choice was the Raiders.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because there's a well-established Raiders fan base in LA.
And the Chargers were liked in San Diego. For the most part, they had a big fan base. I didn't understand the move, and now you go to StubHub. I mean, financially, them getting this stadium, building this new stadium, if the Rams with Sean McVay, I think that, you know what, they'll be fine.
I think they'll be able to. If they continue their success, they can build up fans.
Yeah. It's the same way that probably the Lakers now – I mean, they've been able to fill seats, but now with LeBron, they're going to be full. I think that if you have an exciting team in a big market, you're going to sell. It'll take time sometimes, even if you don't have the following, but it'll sell. But to me, man, the Chargers are 4-2, right? They're not the Raiders. I mean, they're not the Rams. They're not undefeated. But, I mean, if you're not selling out a soccer stadium in the U.S., soccer stadiums in the U.S., if you're not playing in Seattle or Atlanta, you don't have a big stadium. I mean, oh, come on, man. Do you know what the average attendance is to NFL games? Or
probably somewhere in the 60s, 70s.
I would say, yeah, somewhere in the 60s and 70s. And, of course, most of those teams are actually selling out as well.
All right, so here's the 2018 attendance stats. The Chargers are last. So 25,370 is their average attendance compared to the Dallas Cowboys having an average attendance of 90,478 people, which is, I mean, bro.
I don't know what the NFL was thinking from the beginning, bringing two teams to LA. The Rams,
a bigger stadium, but still.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine the Chargers in a legit NFL stadium. Let's say they stay in LA and go to their new stadium. It's going to look bad. It's going to be so.
Well, they're
going
to be paying rent to the Rams.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even.
Are they going to be making? Are they going to be making enough money to, like, afford rent?
Are they going to make enough money to pay their players? Like, $150 million is bad. Like, oh my gosh. To be honest, I don't know if they should move back to San Diego, but I do know they can't stay in LA and be a profitable
successful
team.
So, yeah. Hold up. I'm going to see if I can. All right, so the Washington Redskins, I think, have the worst attendance percentage-wise. And it says that even they still get 59,000 people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's just an interesting thing that we wanted to bring up about the Chargers.
Man, they really suck.
Also, the Browns have not looked good since they played the Raiders. Baker Mayfield has struggled.
Hold
and
on,
Jarvis... Back. Jarvis Landry destroyed me fantasy-wise. I mean, Carlos Hyde. Houston beats Buffalo. Minnesota beats Arizona. And Latavius Murray. Minnesota finally had a running game for once. And Adam Thielen continues to be dominant. The Colts lost to the Jets. For Seattle destroyed Oakland in London 27-3. I forgot. I think the average air yard for Derek Carr was like 0.1, or it was like 1 air yard per throw. And I remember looking, like, they showed the completion map, and if you saw Russell Wilson's, it was a little more, they compared Pat Mahomes and Derek Carr's. If you saw Pat Mahomes, it was very spread out and deep passes, short passes. If you saw Derek Carr, all his completions were short, and his two, like, long passes were drops. But just wanted to say that. Rams beating the Broncos, and Baltimore beats Tennessee 21-0, and the Tennessee Titans have been looking bad. And Marcus Mariota had 10 completions, while the Baltimore Ravens had 11 sacks.
Oh,
but the Titans are good, guys. That's what you both told me at the beginning.
Yeah,
of the season.
No, I'm regretting that take. I'm regretting that take a lot. But now we move on to. Would you guys rather do the Sunday night or Monday night?
I say we go chronological order.
Okay. So, to the game of the week, Kansas City at New England. It was hyped up. We all thought it was going to be a shootout, and they had us at the first half. It was 24-9, but at the end of the day, the game turned out to be the shootout we wanted, and it was a great game, very stressful for Patriots fans. But at the end of the day, we did our job. We because we take no days off, we won 43-40.
I really hate you.
But yeah, it was a great game, guys. It was awesome. I love it.
I mean, my main takeaway from this game, I know the Patriots won, but the fact Mahomes was able to bounce back from – he appeared to be a little nervous in the first half. I think he threw 2 picks in the first half. But he was able to bounce back and lead his team to have a very good chance at winning in the second half. It was just unfortunate for them. The Patriots got the ball last and was able to run out the clock. I legitimately think whoever had the ball last in this game is going to win. If the Chiefs had time, they would have marched down and scored a touchdown and probably won the game.
To me, I think this is this was like the Broncos game where, you know, he was struggled in the first half, but he was able to get the Chiefs to do a lot better. I mean, It was a very impressive performance. Foxborough is not an easy place to play. It doesn't matter how bad the defense is. But, I thought it was impressive that, you know, you're down 24-9. The defense made some plays. But, yeah, the offense exploded in the second half.
And then another thing that stands out to me is, I mean, Sony Michel had a great game. And so, if
he's
he
playing
continue that,
so
and
well.
Pressure off Tom Brady. The Patriots' offense seemed to be really tough to stop.
Sony Michel this season, 491 rushes for 400 yards, an average of 4.4 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he's been pretty solid for a team that usually – their running backs are usually known for receiving. So, yeah, I think it was a good game. I mean, I think that the offense for – both offenses looked really good. I think that – both defenses. I mean, did we really have any expectations for the defenses going into this game?
Absolutely not.
I think that if you're a defensive coordinator, you're a little mad, but at the end of the day, these are two of the highest scoring offenses. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just proud of my Patriots pulling out a tough win. I mean, look, you saw it all. You saw high scoring. You saw Tyreek Hill bust some plays open, and then you saw Tom Brady with a rushing touchdown, a 4-yard rushing touchdown.
That was bad.
That was really
I don't know
bad.
Who it was on the Chiefs defense, but he thought Brady threw the ball, so he decided not to take the penalty because he thought he's gonna get flagged if he takes him down. But yeah, that was just unfortunate.
Which, if I'm correct, goes into the bigger argument that roughing the passer calls this season have impacted the game a lot more.
They have. I still don't believe the whole Falcons thing against Drew Brees.
You're still on that, aren't you?
I mean, I feel like Johan was alluding to that, so I brought it up. You missed Drew Brees. I'm sorry, okay? He got you that time. Falcons need to get over it.
I wasn't alluding to anything. I was just alluding to the fact that roughing the passer has had an impact.
Hayden just needs a way to bash the Falcons and Saints.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you lose to the Redskins.
I'm giving credit. Oof. I'm giving credit to Drew Brees for that solid
season. To me, another thing I wanted to, that made me happy was Josh Gordon – 5 receptions, 42 yards. Doesn't sound so great, but he's also the leader in targets, so it's a good sign. I think that.
I mean, yeah. You're just happy about that because he's on your fantasy team. Yeah.
I'm also happy about that because he's on my actual NFL team.
You're trying to tell me Edelman is still going to be their top receiver throughout the year.
But I mean, it was yeah.
But okay, one thing I do want to talk about is Gronkowski. My roommates had Gronk as their in their fantasy lineup, and I mean, for them, from their perspective, he wasn't getting a lot of touches or a lot of yards or a lot of looks. So I'm just a little curious about if he was actually injured or if he's taking the lesser part of the offense.
He looks like he's lost his step.
He's probably with all the weapons that the Patriots have, I'd expect if you're a player on there, I'd expect Gronk's going to have to be focused on.
Do they really have that many weapons, though?
Gronk, like, Hogan, Edelman, James
Hogan?
White.
Hogan? No,
Josh
Gordon?
Yeah.
Pipe Hogan down went, there, Chris Hogan.
Hogan
and Josh
4 for
Gordon,
78.
You can't even throw in Josh Gordon in that yet.
Josh Gordon was the leading receiver.
I actually don't think that's true.
It is. He was tied with James White for 5 receptions.
Oh, if you're going by receptions, okay.
Yeah, he was, oh, no, no. Yard is wise, no. But I think that with the amount of weapons that the Patriots can use, Tom Brady will spread it out. I think that if Gronk – at the end of the day, I think this will benefit Gronk more.
I mean, by your definition of weapon, they just have to play on the team. Like, Hogan is not a legitimate weapon for them.
Okay, look, here's the thing, right? If Tom Brady's throwing it to you, you're going to be fine.
I mean,
Tom Brady's made receivers out of random people.
Somebody sound the biased alarm.
Okay, yeah, I guess I'm sounding a little biased. Sorry, guys.
Chris Hogan's not a weapon on any team.
All right, whatever you say. But yeah, I think also that one big play where the Patriots defense left Tyreek Hill wide open in the middle of the field. It was a rough play.
And there's also your classy Patriots fans throwing beer on players.
I don't. So. I've also said that we're a pretty shitty fan base. I've never.
Boston
I've never
is just the nicest.
I've never said. If anybody ever tells me the Patriots fans are shit, I'm like, yeah, because it's Boston. Boston might be one. Boston and New York are the two trashiest sports cities.
You're not wrong.
Nah, Green Bay is the worst.
And then you could throw in different fan bases. I mean, you'll probably, you know,
the Raiders are bad.
Raiders fans are bad. Eagles fans are bad. Falcons fans are bad. Actually, hey, if you're an Atlanta sports fan, your suffering is amazing. So I'll say that.
Yo, it's fantastic. It's beautiful. I'm enjoying every single bit of it.
Yo, yeah, you're enjoying. Hey, how about that LSU loss, Hayden? You enjoyed that?
All right, shut up.
Get him, Johan.
How's
doing? Hey, we're not talking about my teams. This isn't about
you,
me.
No, we're irrelevant.
Taquan Marshall.
If we're throwing in Georgia out of the blue, we're throwing in Georgia Tech.
Hey, man, Duke gang.
Oof.
I mean,
my Grayson Allen jersey should be getting here pretty soon.
If that's real.
Yeah, man. No, I mean, hey.
As
we're speaking, I'm looking at a Zion Williamson jersey. Actually, not, but yeah, Georgia lost.
Can you remind me who has the most recent championship out of UNC and Duke? I would love to be reminded about that.
You know, Jake Fromm looks pretty darn bad.
He does. Fields should have gone in that game sooner.
Tua Tagovailoa is the best quarterback in the country.
Tua Tagovailoa can suck my penis, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
But congrats back to on beating no one.
But, yeah, back
to
right.
back, no one good.
Hey, back to the
– Hey, who's Kansas? Georgia play? They lost to their first quality team.
Back to – Cupcakes.
Hey, they beat a ranked South Carolina team at the time.
Oh, boy. If you're using South Carolina as an argument for a tough schedule, then you really have a bad schedule.
Back to Kansas City and New England, even though
Florida
I did bring up Georgia. I was the one that –
Yeah, this is your fault. No,
I was the one
that. We're not talking about the Patriots anymore, okay?
All right, fine. We'll move on. New England won, and the Patriots took.
And, okay, so moving on to the Monday Night Football game. We have the Packers and the 49ers. The Packers ended up pulling out the win 33-30. I don't even know what's going on anymore, guys.
Your sound quality is so bad.
It doesn't matter. Five times champ, baby. Woo! We beat the Chiefs. It's week 6 of the regular season. Let's go! All right, let's move on to the...
Are you still vying with the Dolphins for division control there?
Doesn't matter.
Ooh.
Damn. I forgot. But moving on.
The Dolphins are 4-2.
Moving on. The San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football with great commentary from Jason Witten. The San Francisco 49ers.
Pulling rabbits out of his head, am I right?
Yep.
Big CTE.
The San Francisco 49ers lost to the Green Bay Packers 33-30. CJ Beathard having a solid game. 16 for 23, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Oh my gosh.
Can I just say something before Nick jacks off to Aaron Rodgers?
Matthew Perry had the greatest rant of all time for fantasy when he watched this game.
He did. That was incredible.
It is so bad. Oh, it hurts my head how bad this defense is.
Yeah, the Packers' defense is absolute trash.
How do you feel like you're giving up this many yards to CJ Beathard? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Have you seen people try and keep up with Marquise Goodwin? God.
He's like...
Dude, it's sad.
I think that he's like...
You guys saw the Tremont Williams play where...
He's a great value version of Tyreek Hill.
Where Goodwin faked an inside cut and Tremont Williams is 10 yards away from him and he just falls over.
Yeah.
Like, why is he on the roster? Nobody asked for him to come back.
I mean... Looking more big picture at the Packers, I just Aaron Rodgers is a gift from God for them.
Yeah.
He won in that game, and I'll talk about him later, but I mean, like, Jesus. Like, he has bailed the Packers out of 2 games. The Packers could easily be 1-4-1 right now.
Oh yeah, I'm just watching this play that you were talking about.
It's terrible. This team, I'll just give my whole take on the defense right now. It's a combination of really good young players and really bad old players, and they can't find a middle ground.
I feel like your team's just a mess all around, isn't it?
Other
than Aaron
Rodgers.
They want
to have big names that cost them way too much money, like Clay Matthews, who should have been gone last year. He should be gone. He should be on the team. Tremont Williams should not be on the team. Devon Howe should not be on the team.
Your second highest rusher was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That was bad.
And he only ran the ball twice, I think.
Three times. Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers are saving that team.
The whole honestly,
and both of my fans
and Graham and Valdez Scantling are pretty, but the more consistent players this season have been Rodgers and Adams.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the Pelicans beat the. Sorry, yeah. Pelicans beat the Rockets 131-1.
The breaks off the Rockets.
All right, I gotta make Hayden gotta check the fantasy score and see if Carmelo did anything. All right, but let's go back to the Packers game.
My whole take on this defense, let me just give my full take on this before you two ramble. It was bad. It was really bad. But a part of the problem, it was bad. The starting right end was out. The number one, the number three, and the number four corners were all out. So it was a really depleted secondary.
Can I just say something before you continue? Whoever the Packers, like help person, I can't think of the word right now.
They're
help
like,
person?
You mean like they're... Safe. They're like trainers?
Yeah, they're trainers. He is terrible at his job because it seems like every single year the Packers are getting decimated on defense, and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, the person covering Mark Tremont Williams is never going to see the field if these three starting corners don't all get hurt. Because Jair Alexander would be on him, and he's a very, very good rookie corner. He's phenomenal. Josh Jackson's all right. He's okay. Kinda. I still don't want him on the team. But. And who's the other schmuck? I don't know who the other idiot was that was hurt, but.
Wow. Really talking about your
players
like idiots.
Corner. Well, they're kind of idiots if you're giving up 30 to the 49ers, who are 1-4.
I mean, you guys gave up 24. I mean, look, the defense, from what I'm
just
seeing from
the
box score,
week,
look, what I'm seeing is that you guys gave up 6 points
it's my turn to talk.
In the second half.
Talk. I have the talking stick, Johan. Shut up.
Okay, okay. Wow. God, bitch.
After the bye week, Alexander will be back. The number 2 and 3 receivers will both be back. Cobb and Allison. Josh Jackson will be back. Reggie Gilbert will be back. He's a pretty underrated pass rusher when he gets to play.
But even with that, they get back from the bye week. They go to L.A., the L.A. Rams.
That Rams game is going to be an interesting one. And it's either going to be like a 30-point blowout or it might be close.
They also play the Patriots. So, I mean, they could easily lose both those games. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. The Rams,
I wouldn't either.
I don't think they have – I mean, I guess they have a slight chance against the Rams with Aaron Rodgers. But
it depends on his injuries. If Cooper Kupp and Keith Tlaib aren't back, then I think they've got a kind of a chance. If that the defense hasn't played bad when they've had all their personnel in. It's just the injuries every single year annihilate this defense. It's ridiculous.
That's why I need a new trainer to help condition your team. In the first place,
we had bad defensive players getting hurt all the time. Now we have good defensive players getting hurt all the time. You fixed half the problem. But availability is still better than ability. So you haven't fixed the worst of the two problems.
Exactly.
But offensive time. The reason Aaron Rodgers is the second leading rusher is because they couldn't run the ball in the second half. Because they just had to keep scoring.
Because.
And you can't afford
it. Because Aaron, they don't like. They also don't like playing Aaron Jones.
Bill. That's still a thing. Aaron Rodgers is hurt, and they can't risk him taking hits, so they have to play the back blockers.
Hold up. The alleged pass blocker.
Yeah, allegedly better. Well, Aaron Jones didn't pass block very well. One of the two, actually, I think Aaron Jones was 2 blocks that led to sacks in this game, which may be why he was taken out. But hopefully after the bye week, the roster gets healthy.
Yep. All right. Well, that has been basically our review of this week.
Our shitty takes.
Yep.
Flex deal.
But now, so talking about Flex Seal, now.
The new home for Craftsman Tools.
It's time for our That's a Lot of Damage Player of the Week, not sponsored by Phil Swift or Flex Tape Seal Cover and all the Flex family products.
Available at Lowe's.
Available at Lowe's. So for me. I'll just go first. For me, I was kind of. I'm going to say 2. One was more of an honorable mention. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill, 7 receptions, 142 yards, 3 touchdowns. The man was a monster. That man, he's... Yeah.
Abused.
He always does it against New England. It's always a scary thing. But, I mean, and the funny thing is that this week I've seen posts from journalists saying, like, they're saying, like, is Tyreek Hill a top 5 receiver? And I've also seen, like, is Thielen the best receiver in the league. But Tyreek Hill has been pretty good this year with
Well, hang on. I'll tell you why Adam Thielen's not the best receiver in the league. It's because Devontae Adams is.
Okay. Whatever you say.
Me and Johan, we've had this debate earlier in the week. We're not even going to get into that. I don't think it's worth it, Johan.
Yeah.
We'll let him have his moment.
Yeah, I mean, my top receivers are still the usual. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill has just been phenomenal this year and against a defense that, in a shootout, he had a huge game. But yeah, my honorable mention was Kareem Hunt, 10 rushes for 80 yards, and then 5 receptions for 105 yards and a touchdown. I mean, come on.
This offense is just... both of these players lost, so they didn't do a lot of damage.
They did a lot.
They didn't do enough damage.
I don't know, man. The Chiefs' offense is just crazy. They're just
Nick. I'm not a bitch. I'm not gonna play. I'm not gonna be Ryan. I'm still gonna talk to it. I might die tomorrow, but yeah, I'm gonna talk to the Jinx.
All right.
I think Johan's done because his is pretty bad. I don't have a soundbite for mine because I don't think the Packers have. Spanish announcers that I know of, but it's definitely Aaron Rodgers.
There's not many Hispanics in Green Bay, Wisconsin, so no.
But yeah.
Yo, no, I'm gonna look up stats now. I'm gonna look up the population of Hispanics in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right, so y'all go on.
While Johan,
I have to dial up Trump for a second. Hold on.
Nick, I'm assuming I think we have the same player with it being Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
Senor Rodgers.
What he did at the end of that game was, I mean, okay, the Niners defense is nothing to. There's nothing good. They played pretty bad at the end of the game.
Not,
they didn't guard. They really didn't guard not. The sidelines. But Aaron Rodgers.
Equanimeous St. Brown.
Aaron such Rodgers a great name. Such a great name. Sorry.
Aaron Rodgers is the best sideline passer I've ever seen
in the league.
The throws he makes along the sideline is incredible. Even going back a couple of years to the Packers Cowboys playoff game to Jared Cook. When he somehow made that throw.
He's got a talent for throwing a football well.
I mean, it's pretty incredible. And, of course, he's the only reason they won that game. I mean, defense wasn't doing any favors. And, I mean, he saved the Packers from defeat.
If it weren't for that pesky little Patrick Mahomes having a godly season, Rodgers would be in the MVP discussion. But he's not because of Mahomes.
And the fact his team isn't doing as well.
Yo, I don't know if this is correct, but it says that the there's 14.2% of Green Bay, Wisconsin is Hispanic. So hey,
that's Ron. You gotta cite your sources, bro. You're in college.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, I'm about to get a play. Okay, you got statisticalatlas.com. So I don't know how
we give them a shout out, so you can check them out anytime you want.
Yeah,
I just like to point out some stats. We're about a third of the way through the season. I don't know. We're almost at the halfway point, kind of. Aaron Rodgers is on pace for 4,500 yards, 44 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, but Matt, if I remember correctly, I saw something that said Matt Ryan was bound for more.
Yeah.
Yes, except that's Matt Ryan, and this is Aaron Rodgers.
No, I get it. I mean, I'm going to – okay. Hold up. Matt Ryan is in pace for 5,213 yards, 37 touchdowns, 5 picks. So –
ooh, 5 is more than 2.
This is from John Michaels of 92.9.
Still only one interception.
92.9.
We're talking about two players that probably aren't going to get MVP. I mean.
Oh, they're not. As long as Patrick Mahomes keeps playing.
I don't know
playing,
if the Packers
winning.
Make it to the playoffs. That's where I'm. That's the level I'm at with them. I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, but.
It really depends on
the
division.
They might be the third best team in the division.
No.
Weren't you guys just talking trash about Chicago? Because Detroit's
Green
not
Bay's
the...
not better. They're not much better.
Yeah, I'm not gonna put. I'm not putting up Detroit there. Matt Stafford padding up his stats.
The Vikings.
I still think the Packers.
The Vikings aren't even that great. I mean,
The Vikings. The Vikings offense is very good. It's more their defense.
I trust the Vikings more than I do any other team. That's
well, yeah, me
I don't
too.
Trust
because
the Packers at all.
At the end of the day,
you're trusting the team that got shut out by the Bills.
I still think that the talent in Minnesota is enough that once they, you know, start. Meshing, it'll be a lot better. So
exactly.
We'll see when playoff time comes around, but
look,
there may be some odd playoff teams
this
year.
Look. Carolina and New Orleans are going to be fighting for the division for the NFC South. I think that both can make the playoffs.
You mean New Orleans is going to run away with the division?
Yeah, but I'm not going to just throw away, you know, the Panthers.
Hey,
if
a team is allowed a bad game, like Johan says, then the Panthers should be allowed a bad game.
So two straight bad games because y'all almost lost to the Giants.
But we won, didn't we?
Okay.
Oh, almost losses. Oh, is that?
Yeah, it's a new stat I came up with.
Losses.
It's a new stat I came up with. But yeah. So both of your players of the week were Aaron Rodgers or?
Senor Aaron Rodgers.
From a player that actually did enough damage, unlike Johans.
Okay, fine. Let's not forget, if we want to talk, fine. I'll redo my player of the week.
No,
right.
It's too late. It's too
my,
late.
That's a lot
back.
Of damage player of the week. Todd Gurley, 28 rushes, 208 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns.
For anyone that's listening, no, this counts because
he
messed it up.
At the same, okay. Tyreek Hill was a beast. But Todd Gurley was too. Todd Gurley, 208 rushing yards. Not a great defense in Denver, but 208 rushing yards. I mean, sheesh.
That's enough out of you.
Wow.
If somebody wants to take the gif of Jack Sparrow from the first Pirates of the Caribbean, him bailing water out of his boat, you just want to Photoshop Aaron Rodgers' face on that and put like the Packers G on the flag of that boat. That'd be an accurate gift of the season.
Ouch. All right, so now let's move on to our next segment, which is Team of the Week.
And shout out to me on Twitter for going after Michael Thomas because
he's never responding to you.
Yeah, he's. Why would he?
Doesn't matter. I need to voice my frustration to this guy.
Okay, yeah, you could get a diary or a journal.
I've seen your tweets.
Does he even know you exist? What? At the end of the day, he doesn't know any of us exist. But Michael Thomas, just know I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he's listening to the podcast.
Oh, you're right.
He's listening to it right now. What's up, Michael Thomas?
Hey, wait, what'd you say about the tweets?
He's never going to respond to them, and he probably hasn't even seen them.
Oh, he definitely hasn't seen them. I guarantee he doesn't check his responses.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's what? Was it Chad Johnson that asked for tickets or whatever?
Yo, yeah. I've been adding Chad Johnson to play me in FIFA for years. He's just dodging me.
He doesn't play crappy players like you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, moving
the
on.
You definitely Johan, you, too
you
much.
Can barely be
moving
me.
On to Team of the Week.
I'll start off. I'll start with this one. And it's a team. I mean, we talked about their concerns earlier with Le'Veon Bell, but yeah, I think the Steelers bounced back in a big way this week. I thought the Bengals were a pretty good team, and the fact
they are.
Played really well against them on the road. And the Steelers' defense actually played really well. They only allowed the Bengals to 275 total yards. And I think it was 21 points.
Against one of the higher scoring offenses in the league.
Yeah, and like people crap on Andy Dalton, but Andy Dalton's not – he's been having a pretty decent year by his standards. And I just think this is a divisional win. So I just think it was a big win for them, and it gives them momentum going forward. And we don't know if some people think Le'Veon's going to play or not. We'll see. If he does play, that's going to be a big get for them later in the year. And I think right now it's just they can win without him. They can make it to the playoffs without him. But if they get him back, it's going to be a big get for them.
I think that Pittsburgh's the one team that you could, say, like, what they're consistent at. They're consistent. They're really good on offense, and their defense is iffy, right? But to me, like, Baltimore has put up – and same with Cincinnati. I'd say the same. I think that they've been really good on offense and iffy on defense. But Baltimore, to me, I mean, they're 4-2. But to me, I mean, they're the team that – they're the variable in that division because, I mean, look, you play – you lose to the Browns, right? And then you go and then beat the Titans. Not a great Titans team. My apologies for thinking they were good. But you beat them 21-0. I mean, your defense has been really good, but I think their offense has been either good or bad. You just flip a coin, and that's their offense for this week.
Yeah, so. And I mean, Big Ben actually had a good game on the road.
He's been pretty good on the road this whole season.
One touchdown, no interceptions.
He's been solid.
You have to ask Nick about that, because Nick has him on his fantasy team. But yeah, I mean, Big Ben's
Coomst.
Big Ben. Playing well on the road?
Yeah, he's been all right this year. Not great, but he's been decent. Road Ben hasn't really been a problem.
So, I mean, yeah, with that, I mean, Steelers get a big win. And I guess, Johan, you can give your team.
Nick, did you and I agree on our team? Or yes.
Yes, yes.
So, even though they did lose.
What I do want to say, actually, you can name the team, and I'll give you crap again like I did for the last segment.
Look, even though they lost, the Kansas City Chiefs are still our teams of the week. Now, Jerry West has won an NBA MVP or Finals MVP award in a losing
effort. It doesn't count.
I think it's more of the fact that you have a young quarterback playing against a dynasty, right? Bill Belichick, for the most part, even though his defenses are never great, they can still find ways to stop you. I mean, the first half, it was rough, but then you go up. I mean, you put up 31 points in the second half in Foxborough? I mean, I got to give kudos to them. I mean, they played extremely well. Their offense played extremely well. Pat Mahomes played really well. Their receivers played really well. I'm not going to give it to New England as much because I thought that, one, you give up a 15-point lead, right?
I mean, this is the thing with the Chiefs, though, and it's been a concern I've had with them for the whole season. They need to get a stop on defense. Like, the expectation going into this game is, oh, yeah, both teams are going to score a lot. But the defense is going to have to get a stop if they want to win a game like this against this caliber of a team. We know their offense is good, but, I mean, you got to stop them.
They were able to cause two fumbles, so – I mean, they did okay. They made some stops.
But they didn't get the stop when they needed to at the end of the game. And, I mean, I think that's what's going to be their demise if they end up going to the playoffs, which, I mean, I'd imagine at this point we all think they would. But their defense is going to have to step up when they need to, when the team needs them to.
But look, they're 5-1, right? They're hard. I mean, the rest of the schedule is what? The Bengals this week, and then they'll play the Rams week 11, Ravens week 14, and then the Chargers week 15. I mean, that's four games. And other than the Rams, I mean, every other game is winnable. I expect them to beat the Bengals. I expect them to beat the Ravens. The Chargers could go either way, depending on if their defense, depending on when if Joey Bosa gets back and if he's able to help the defense. But other than that, I mean, they probably have a better chance than New England of finishing with the first seed. And if they finish in, if they get home field in Arrowhead, nobody in the AFC, I believe, will be able to beat them there at home.
I mean, I still think
they're definitely dangerous team.
I still think they need to prove themselves in the playoffs. Andy Reid has been terrible with clock management in playoff games specifically. So I think they still need to prove that they can win in the playoffs.
Fair point, but I still think that they were the team of the week. I mean, that offense, like I said, the offense woke up in the second half and just had a tremendous game. They put up more points than Jacksonville.
I will say a team I think that needs an honorable mention, as much as I don't really like to talk about them, is the Cowboys, just for what they did.
Yeah.
That was definitely the most surprising result of the week. But, I mean, to be honest, I think they're more worthy than the Chiefs for team of the week, in my opinion.
Any Cowboys hate that any of our viewers want to spew on social media, we endorse you.
Yeah. America's team.
My ass.
All right, so moving on to our next segment, Week 7. The Week 7 Game of the Week,
no,
guys.
No, buddy. You're forgetting the best segment.
No. I purposely am skipping over this segment.
No.
He's ready for the Panthers at number
not
one.
This time. I know this is the moment everyone's been waiting for. Oh, my gosh. So, Joe, I can leave a footnote to when the power rankings happen in the podcast notes. But here we go. The official
power rankings brought to you by Home Depot.
The official power rankings of the NFL, sponsored by
nobody,
no one, because we don't have a sponsor yet, but we're working on that.
We have Lowe's as sponsor.
We don't
want Lowe's.
I will take any sponsor. Phil Swift, please. We have a segment named
brought
after
you. By Lowe's.
We have a segment after you. All right.
Home of all Craftsman tools, free lifetime warranty.
Are you ready though?
No, I am not, Hayden, but get on with it.
A new team has entered the power rankings for this week. Replacing, I know, my Panthers. It was a tough decision.
How was it a tough decision?
It wasn't. It really wasn't. But I talked about the Steelers in our last segment, and I think they enter at number 5. Winning that game at Cincinnati was a big deal. And, I mean, I think right now, if I had to bet on any team, I would say they're the favorite in the AFC East currently. Is that fair to you guys? You guys agree with that? You think it's too high?
No. You're and they're good. I mean, look, they get Le'Veon Bell back. They'll be fine.
All right. So with that, we move on to number 4, which is the New Orleans Saints. To be honest, right now, I think they're the best team in the NFC South from what they've shown. The Panthers haven't shown much yet. We'll see if that changes. The defense still concerns me a little bit. They had a great week. They had a bye this week, but they had a great week against the Redskins. So if they can continue that, I think they'll definitely be a top 4 team.
Right now they're in the second seed. I mean, they're 4-1, and I mean, you get back Mark Ingram. The defense played solid against Washington, so it's trending upward for them.
So anything you want to add, Nick?
Saints are a good team.
All right.
They're probably going to win the division.
And with that, we can move on to the number 3 team. I believe the Patriots have stayed at number 3 the past few weeks. Yeah, because I'm not going to move them above any of the other teams. But yeah, with the Patriots, I mean, what else do I need to say? Brady's still good. Sony playing really well is a big boost for them. And I mean, they're going to win a bunch of games.
I am worried about the Chicago game, though. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but I do think that I am worried.
And if there's nothing else to add, We move on.
Don't be worried.
The Bears. Ooh, the defense does need the.
The Bears.
No,
defense.
I was going to say the Patriots defense. I hope that they start improving. Usually they struggle in the beginning of the season, but maybe they don't allow Mitch Trubisky to have a third big game.
And with that being said, we move on from that team I don't like to talk about to the Kansas City Chiefs, who remain at number two in my power rankings. They showed up against a great Patriots team. They would have won that game if the ball's in their hands last. And the fact Mahomes is able to bounce back after that first half, like we said earlier in the podcast, I think is a good sign for them.
Yeah, I have nothing. I agree.
Chiefs are a good team.
Yeah, right. I mean, they still
they will probably win that division.
They're still the second best team in the NFL.
And number one, I have the Carolina. Just kidding.
We know you're just kidding.
I have the Rams at number one.
I'd hope you're just kidding.
But yeah, they played well in which was a cold game in Denver. I think some people I know on like ESPN and FS1 were saying they wanted to see how the Rams play well in a tough, cold environment.
Not only that, but Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp entering a little banged up, and Cooper Kupp's.
Yeah. That is true. That is a concern. And then I don't know if you guys would think this is a hot take, but as of right now, I think Todd Gurley is the best running back in the league. Despite what Max Kellerman says about Saquon being the best running back, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's thinking with that.
I mean, look, yeah. Todd Gurley has 11 total touchdowns, and he's only been playing 6 games. He's almost at 2 touchdowns a game. I mean, look, the guy is a complete beast, a complete monster. I mean, that team is just so high powered. I mean, look, you have you have Jared Goff not playing so well, 14 for 28 and a pick. But, I mean, you could just imagine having that great of a receiving core, right? You have a solid receiving core in Woods, Cups, Cup and Cooks, sorry. But if you struggle off on passing, you could just hand it off and you can get 208 yards.
Yeah, and it's unfair.
The fact that the only position the Rams are missing on their entire team
is like tight end.
It's tight end.
Well, their DBs have struggled a little, but that's because
they've had some injuries.
Yeah.
But the fact that the only player they're really missing is an all-star tight end, that's it.
And yeah, I mean, they really don't need that tight end. And I mean, that's why.
They don't use a tight end.
I mean, I have them as a clear favorite, with the Chiefs a distant second. And, so to recap the power rankings, I have the Steelers at 5, Saints at 4, Patriots at 3, Chiefs at number 2, and the Los Angeles Rams is my favorite team, our best team in the NFL. All
right, moving on.
Those are the power rankings brought to you by Liv.
Again.
The new home.
They're not my sponsor. I denied them.
I like how you're throwing in the crafts and the power tools. Moving on. Now,
3 lifetime warranty with every Craftsman tool purchase.
All right.
Now moving on. Hey, are you? Never mind. Moving on to this week's to week 7 game of the week. A couple good games for the most part. Not that great of a schedule. I mean, Thursday night we get an epic matchup. The Denver Broncos, led by Case Keenum, head into Arizona or Phoenix and play the Arizona Cardinals, led by Josh Rosen.
Improve Thursday night schedule.
Your Thursday nights are back, folks. Back with the garbage games. This game doesn't deserve
time. No, Thursday nights are really back. Because after this, it's Miami-Houston, Oakland-San Francisco, and then we get Carolina-Pittsburgh. So, guys, for your next 3 Thursdays, you don't have to watch football.
Did you include Carolina-Pittsburgh?
No.
Okay,
I meant this.
Okay, I was about to say.
But, hey, absolutely. And you know what? Just in time for the NBA. Tomorrow, the Lakers.
Yeah, I'll be watching that. I mean, I'll be watching the Broncos-Cardinals game until the Lakers play, I think at 10:30. But, yeah.
Who do the Lakers play?
The Blazers, I think.
Yep, they do.
Yeah. Man, I mean, tomorrow it's Chicago-Philly on TNT, and then Lakers-Portland. But inside the NBA – or what is it? NBA on TNT is always a show worth watching because of Charles and Shaq and
– That is true.
And Ernie and Kenny. So, yeah.
I'd just like to point out Joe Ingles, the math teacher, is going off for the Jazz.
But yeah, so going into this game, I mean, are there any games that are going to lose week? Are there any games that get your attention? I mean, for me, go ahead. Sorry.
For me, it's Bengals Chiefs.
Yeah,
that's the only interesting
game. A Sunday night.
Okay, I know they actually flexed that game into Sunday night because it was Niners and Rams.
Thank you.
Thankfully, they saved us from that. I mean, Bengals Chiefs is all right. Saints Ravens is pretty good.
That was,
I'm looking at games here. Patriots Bears, I have some interest in. And I mean, to be honest, I think Panthers Eagles is not going to be a shit show. I think it's going to be a pretty decent game to watch as
To me, if I had to pick, for me, the ones that get my interest are Panthers Eagles, Saints Ravens, and then, the Cincinnati Kansas City game. I mean, the Eagles game. I mean, the Eagles, Carson Wentz is starting to look really good. The Eagles coming off a really, really bad loss. I mean, the Panthers coming off a really, really bad loss. So,
I think this will be a close game. I think both teams, at this moment, I think they're fairly even in kind of what they're dealing with. I think they both have kind of the same struggles.
Except one has better weapons.
Offensively. The Eagles? I don't know. Yeah. I would debate that.
I mean, let's come. Funchess and DJ Moore and who else? I can't.
Greg Olson's back.
Is he?
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I know that he'd been injured. I thought last week. I think that he was still really, really doubtful. But they had it was a small percentage chance he'd play last week.
And he played a few snaps. I mean, the Eagles. Who really stands out to you on the Eagles? The Panthers have the better running back.
Wentz. Yeah, but receivers, I mean, you have Ertz. Ertz has been better.
Cam versus Wentz is the debate I don't want to get into. But
yeah, I mean, I can see why. But Ertz, I mean, I think that if you put him up, Ertz, Jeffrey,
I view both their receiving cores as fairly even, in my opinion.
And both of these games are going to be very important because, both are 3-win teams. The Carolina Panthers do have to – keep up with the Saints. So,
and I mean, the difference between 4-2 and 3-3, I think, is a pretty big difference, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I mean, Philly
can't drop to below 500. I mean, I guess they could because their division sucks, but I mean, they don't want to.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, you want to get that second seed. The Rams will get the first seed. I don't think anybody will disagree that the Rams are going to finish the first seed in that division. But at the same time,
I don't think the Eagles have a chance to get a bye, really, unless they completely just destroy it the rest of the season.
Yeah, I just think that the amount of wild card teams in the NFC, man. I mean, the second places of some of these divisions, second to third. I mean, you have Chicago. So looking at the divisions, looking at these two divisions, the NFC East, Philly will be fine. But I think that the NFC South, I mean, Carolina and New Orleans. You don't want to – every loss will be very – will impact you a lot in that division. And now moving on. So another game that I – like I said, that stands out, New Orleans, Baltimore. Like I said earlier, Baltimore, man, they're confusing on offense. Last game they played well. You want them to win. Last game they played well, but the week before, I mean, you lose to the Browns and your offense doesn't look well. And I mean, they're going to have to keep their defense. Do you guys think that their defense can stop this offense? I don't know any defense that can stop the New Orleans offense now that you have Mark Ingram back.
I think the fact they're playing at home is going to be helpful. The Ravens offense is going to have to score more than probably 24 points if they want to win the game.
I mean, look, Baltimore has the defense that allows the least amount of points. First in points allowed, 12.8. So, look, New Orleans is going to score more than that. Let's be real here. But, I mean, look, you have – their defense can stop. I mean, Michael Thomas has struggled the last few weeks. Right, Nick?
As Nick's crying in the corner of his room.
All right, I'm going to have to go tweet him again.
But – yeah, Baltimore, I mean, third in rushing yards allowed. So, I mean, they're all around great on defense. So, this should be a fun matchup to see. But do you guys, to me, it just depends on Baltimore's offense. which is because I think their defense is capable of making that one play that you need. If you need one drive, or if you need them to just hold them to three and out on one drive, I think that their defense is talented enough to stop anybody not named the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's just how Flacco goes out and plays. The New Orleans defense, I mean, they like I said, they've been weird. I mean, the beginning, they looked bad. They've allowed a lot of points, but, I mean, against the Redskins, they looked impressive. So, it'll be interesting to see. And then Cincinnati, Kansas City. Kansas City coming off the loss. Do you guys – I don't want to say that they're going to win. Like, I don't want to say that they're going to win, but I do believe that they'll probably win this game comfortably.
I mean, I think the Bengals are a little underrated. The Chiefs playing at home definitely is going to help make this more lopsided. I don't know. I would definitely be confident in betting on the Chiefs to win this game. But I think the Bengals have a little something in them.
Look, Kansas City does have the worst defense. Probably, I mean, in yards allowed, they're the worst defense. Both these teams have two of the worst defenses in yards allowed. It's just Kansas City has a very potent offense, while, you know, Cincinnati in yards, they've been all right, but, I mean, they've been able to put up points.
Hey, but, Cincinnati's undefeated in primetime games this year, while the Chiefs are 0-1, so if that means anything to anyone. Just kidding, it doesn't mean anything, but, I mean, I don't know. I feel like
yeah. All right, but those are our games of the week. So now, moving on to our last segment, Pigskin Pick'em. Well, hold up. I have to try. Nick disconnected, guys.
Yeah, him and his Samsung device. We're currently not sponsored by them, so I can hey, shit on Samsung.
Hey, wow. Why you got to call my boy's phone?
Hey, I mean, Samsung, we don't want them as our sponsor.
All right. Well, any sponsors are.
No, not Samsung. If we can get Samsung, we can get Apple. So we got to shoot the skies.
Hey, bro, that's all you. That is all you if you want to do Samsung. So picks can pick them. Last week, did my picks not save? Oh, sorry. Wrong entry. Last week. Wow. None of my picks can pick them from last week saved. I'm really hurt.
Oh, mine didn't
actually
either.
Really, really hurt. That's nice.
I'm actually not doing terrible. All right, well, I'm getting about half the games right. And I'm picking against the spread, too. So if you guys want to listen to me.
I'm just so lost. Well, no, we're not picking the spread right now.
I know. I'm just saying my. Penis.
All right, so now it's time for our last segment, Pigskin Pick'em. Basically, we just pick every game off the NFL or off this week's NFL schedule.
We get to witness Johan missing every game like he did last week.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you agree with me.
Okay, but I need to mention this. So if the recording kind of sounds weird, it's because Nick kind of got taken out of the chat, like at the end of
him and his Samsung phone.
Wow. So if it sounds a little weird, it's because I had to mix both parts in. But yeah, I think this is our first week of doing Pigskin Pick'em, where it's all three of us. So first game, Broncos, Cardinals.
Broncos.
You go Broncos.
Easy. Broncos.
You know what? Josh Rosen will not have a big game. Broncos. Titans, Chargers.
Chargers. Is it even close?
All right, so I think this next pick for me just varies.
God, depends this next on... one, yeah,
is a shit
it
show.
Just depends because Nathan Peterman isn't starting for the Bills.
So yeah, the Josh game Allen's is the out. Bills versus the Colts.
Yeah, so Bills Colts.
The Colts actually have both... a worse record than the Bills.
But oh, they do, huh?
Yeah, 2-win Bills.
I mean, look, the Colts aren't a very good team.
I mean,
but the Bills defense has been all right, but at the same time, I'm going to take the Colts on this one just because If it doesn't matter, Andrew Luck like
over Derek Anderson.
Like Josh Allen hasn't been very good.
Josh Allen's not playing.
And if you, I know, that's what I was gonna say. Oh. I already mentioned he was injured. But if your backup's Nathan Peterman, what is and he's not even playing? I don't know what you have. Like anybody else can play quarterbacks. You, the listener.
Derek Anderson might be the best quarterback on that roster.
You, Derek the listener,
Anderson actually isn't terrible.
You, the listener, can play quarterback for the Buffalo Bills.
And I do want to mention something. The Colts are favored by 6.5. I think that's a little too high.
That is too much.
So if you're betting the spread, I would say the Take Bills under. Definitely, yeah. Maybe the Colts don't win by over 6.5. John, did you an official pick for this?
Yeah, I said the Colts.
The Colts? All right.
The Indianapolis Colts will win.
So all right. With this next matchup, we get to see Johan's bias.
The Patriots-Bears, I am taking New England on this.
It's not a surprise there, Mr. Bias. But
gosh, are you trying to flip the script on the whole little bias thing?
Yes, I am.
Am I supposed to pick against the Patriots?
I'm not the only biased person.
I'm taking the Patriots.
In what world did I become the least biased person here?
Wow.
You just have to call out for
it. So Patriots, so Patriots Bears, guys, I take Patriots.
Pats.
Nick, what about you? Pats. Moving on to the next game, the Browns Buccaneers. Browns coming off a disappointing loss, and Buccaneers also coming off a disappointing loss.
I'm taking the Browns as well.
Ooh.
Baker's gonna have a big game.
I picked him up for my fantasy team.
I think he'll be fine, and that defense is pretty good. They're pretty good at takeaways, and Jameis Winston is turnover prone, but I'm going to take Jameis Winston, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, and that tells you all you know about Johan Sports Stakes.
Hey, that's fine. I'll end up whatever. Moving on, Lions, Dolphins. Dolphins coming off a big win.
The Miami Dolphins are going to 5-2, bitches.
Brocktober. Led by Brock Osweiler at home against the Detroit Lions.
They're actually an underdog by a half a point. I'm going to say the Lions win.
I'm going to take the Lions on this one. I don't have much.
Yeah.
They're playing an actual offense.
Literally, Nick saying Brocktober made me change my mind. Because, Brock Osweiler's the quarterback.
I think that Matt Stafford should have a good time. And Kerryon Johnson should probably be all right. So I expect them to have a big game.
Let's get it done, Brock.
Vikings Jets, obviously got to go with Sam Darnold here, right? No, I'm kidding. Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings.
Panthers Eagles, Hayden, are you going to show your bias? Huh?
Oh, of course I am. And I actually believe the Panthers will win this game.
What's the line on this game?
It's 4.5 for the Eagles. It started 3.5, and it moved up to 4.5. So obviously, the bettors believe in the Eagles. I'll be honest, I don't think it's completely unreasonable to think the Panthers are going to win this game.
Again, that's just bias talking, but gosh, Nick, ouch! Am I going to have to be the lone Eagles taker in this game?
Yep.
You don't have to.
I'm gonna go with the Eagles. I think that, yeah, I think I'll get trust. I think I just trust their offense a little more than the Panthers' offense. Right. Moving on, Texans Jaguars. Texans struggled badly against Buffalo last week, even though they won. And the Jags, both teams kind of struggled.
I like the Texans in this game.
Are you just doing that because you said that they were going to be first seed?
No, that's like maybe 10% of it, because if they win this, they'd be the number 4-1 team in that division. But I think the conference. Texans are actually going to win this game. I'm not confident in Blake Bortles at all.
I wouldn't blame you.
Deshaun, well, I'm going to take the better quarterback in this matchup, to be honest. And I don't think the Texans have a terrible defense either. So I'm going with Deshaun.
I'll take the Jaguars. You'll
take the Jaguars? I'm trying to see, because I want to see what Jalen Ramsey's stats against or Hopkins' stats against Ramsey have been. I just feel like I feel like that'll
just
be
make a pick good.
Okay. Oh, look, here's the complete game by game. Oh, never mind. That's not it. I thought I found them. You know what? I think that the Jags actually win this game. I think that they the last two performances, or I think last week's performance will light a fire in them. So, I think that Jalen Ramsey doesn't shut down DeAndre Hopkins, but I think he slows him down. I think that the Jags win. Moving on, Saints Ravens. Who's favorite in this game?
The Ravens by 2.5.
Interesting.
This one's a tough one.
I'm picking the Saints.
I'm gonna go Saints too, but I'm not. I think that the result can go either way. Like I said, it just falls on the Ravens' offense.
To be honest, the Ravens are at home. I'm just gonna I just think that's gonna be the difference in the game. I don't know. There's nothing that really swings either way, so I'm gonna roll with the home team.
All right, moving on to Jerry Jones's Cowboys going to DC and playing the Redskins.
I think
Redskins coming off. Both teams coming off impressive wins. One beating Hayden's beloved Panthers. Alex Smith, Adrian Peterson, Jamison Crowder, any other player on that team, we love you. We thank you because Hayden can't be biased this week. So, who'd you guys take?
Redskins. I take the Cowboys.
Ooh, wow. I get to be the tiebreaker. Man, both these teams are ugly. They both have solid defenses, but their offenses are just ugly. But slow. I'm going to go with Zeke. I'm going to take Zeke in this situation. I'm going to take the Cowboys winning this. Rams 40. Nah, I'm not even going
to. Niners all day.
Next.
We talked about this game too much. Bengals Chiefs. I'm going to go Chiefs in this one. I just think their offense is very. It's Andy Dalton, man. Andy Dalton will let you down at some point.
It's going to be the Chiefs.
And the next game. Oh, my gosh. The Monday Night Football game with amazing commentary from Jason Witten.
From Big CTE and the other guy.
I also love the fact that they're paying Jason Witten, but Booger McFarland talks like more half the time.
He's actually a pretty good analyst. I like
that. But what I'm saying is that you pay Jason Witten to be your commentator. You expect or one of the commentators. You expect him to have a bigger role. Yeah. But so Atlanta's on the app I'm using. It says they're a 5.5-point favorite.
For me, it says 6.5.
I'm gonna go Falcons on this one. It's
for me. I mean,
give me the New York Giants.
Really?
What is?
No, hold on. I want the logic on how you're gonna pick.
No. The logic
because the Falcons are duty.
The Falcons are decimated at receiver. Is Sanu gonna play? Is Calvin Ridley gonna play?
Do we know?
He can't score a touchdown.
Oh no! Watch out!
There's zero touchdowns.
Julio and Hooper are pretty good.
Hooper, you're gonna rely on Austin Hooper.
I mean, he's played well this season.
Saquon's going to run for 300 yards. Just kidding.
That's bold.
I don't blame you, but the same reason why the Giants – I mean, look.
Saquon will at least have 180.
I don't – yeah, and look.
Eli Manning will throw for over 200.
Man, I wish I could find this stat. Hold up. I want to find – I'm not even going to look for it, but basically the Atlanta Falcons are one of the worst defenses against receiving backs.
300-plus yards.
You know what? I'm
going Giants.
I can't. I don't want to. I just can't. I don't want to pick Eli, but this game has Eli written all over it. Like, Saquon Barkley is the perfect player for this game.
Eli.
But they also beat the Patriots.
Do I go? How bold are we willing to go here on Eli?
You know what? Extra. I just want to do an extra thing, right? So I'm going to take the Falcons on this. I think that at home they'll win. But who do you guys think has a better game, Eli or Matt Ryan?
Eli.
What?
I wouldn't be shocked if Eli had a better
game.
Wait, what do you mean better?
You heard me.
Because I think that statistically
more passing yards, better QBR?
Probably all. Or probably – I'll go passing yards and touchdowns. Not a better QB rating.
He's if still Ridley Eli and Manning. Sanu don't play, it will be Eli Manning. If they both play, it'll be Matt Ryan.
Cause see, like this game, like I said, the reason I say this game has Eli Manning written all over it. A quarter of your completions have been to Saquon Barkley. The Atlanta Falcons are really bad against receiving backs. They allow the highest yardage to receiving backs. Saquon Barkley is one of the most targeted players on that team. Saquon Barkley is gonna go off.
He'll probably have 200 scrimmage yards.
Like he's gonna. If you thought that his game against the Eagles was bad, or sorry, not bad. If you thought his performance was amazing, he's probably gonna put up even better numbers this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's a bold question. I have to stream a quarterback this week. Do I go Eli Manning?
Oh, although the Giants are 10th in passing yards. Interesting stat.
Who's your other option?
Jameis.
No, I'm going Jameis. I'm taking Jameis. Mm. Oh, well, no.
It's very close.
I'm going Eli on that one.
You know what? Oh, this is so disgusting. I think the Giants go get their second win of the season. Oh, I'm so...
We convinced him.
This is so okay, but are you proud? Are you proud of this?
Yes.
That means we beat you in a sports debate right there.
Are we proud in picking the Giants? Is that something we're gonna be proud in?
Sure. Fuck the Falcons.
Okay.
Well, I have Eli Manning starting at QB.
All right. So, what are your predicted scores? This should be a high scoring game.
69-69. Gonna end in a tie. But for Rob Gronkowski will catch the game tying touchdown for the Giants.
For me, I'm assuming this prediction with either Ridley or Sanu out, and I say Giants 31, Falcons 27.
So 69-69 to
37-33 is what I'm
going to
say.
I'm going to go – you know, I'll go – man.
You're about to say 40, weren't you?
I think it could be a high-scoring game, but at the same time, it's Eli Manning. Like, it's incompetence. It's incompetence against the fact that there are a lot of injuries on the Falcons' defense. Like, the Falcons' defense isn't a bad defense. Wow, I'm really trying to just convince myself again. I don't like picking Eli Manning. It's just such a disgusting thing.
You already
thing.
Picked
just,
them.
I picked
spent
them. All
too
right,
much time
you know,
on this
yeah.
year.
I'll go
– you're on three.
I'll go 34-28.
One.
So, yeah. All right, then. The Falcons lose to the Giants 34-28. Neil Eli Manning is a big. Oh my gosh. I'm so disgusted at myself.
You should be. Your sports yep. takes are trash.
All right, well.
All right.
Well, that's been this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. No. Subscribe. Hey, all right.
Hey, still have some comments.
Fine.
Oh yeah, Nick's lost.
There's a potential.
Honestly, y'all don't even deserve after making me pick Eli Manning. You don't deserve your little. All right.
Hey, you need to butt out now. We're talking about real sports.
Oh my. There's
a rumor circling that Khabib Nurmagomedov is going to accept a large money boxing fight with Floyd Mayweather.
I hope not.
I really hope for his sake he doesn't do this.
I hope he does. I would
Why? We already saw what happened to McGregor.
I would watch it though.
The only reason McGregor was given a chance is because he's a striker. Nurmagomedov is a wrestler only.
At the same
time. And you can't take people down in boxing.
Hey, I just love to – the only thing I love to see is those press conferences, man. It's going to be Khabib
this
just sitting there.
Number one bullshit.
It's going to be Khabib just sitting there and Floyd running his mouth.
This is number one bullshit.
I just want to know what Floyd will say because Conor crossed all lines.
I feel like –
there's not much he can say.
I mean, I feel like during the whole McGregor Mayweather fight, I feel like a lot of that was staged. What they
I
said.
I also love the fact. Wait, so just to be sure, Hayden, was that the only fight you didn't watch? The Canelo fight, did you last year?
Nope.
Oh my gosh, I'm so hurt.
He doesn't watch combat sports.
Yeah, but how do you watch the Floyd Conor McGregor fight when the Canelo Triple G fight was both times has been a classic?
Hey, it's all about entertainment
and
value.
Honorable mention
shout
to basketball.
Out Gennady Golovkin. Oh yeah, basketball.
Thank you. Thank you.
Also, in the coming days to a week, soccer is getting very good. Chelsea Man United Saturday morning. big week for Champions
League. I hate international football. I'm so tired of it. I want club soccer back.
I do want to say something. I think we can all just go ahead and give our NBA predictions with the Warriors sweeping whoever comes out of the East in the finals.
I think that's going to be Boston.
Yep, okay.
Probably.
So.
And there's our NBA predictions for the year at the bottom half of the pod, or the bottom part of the podcast.
I mean, maybe later on we could do more basketball stuff as football.
Yeah, shout out to the AS Roma Twitter admin.
Yep. Them too. Great. Probably one of the best Twitter accounts. So, is are we done? Is there anything else you want to mention?
We are finished, dude.
Red Dead Redemption next Friday, boys.
Anyone wants to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts.
Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, if you're one of those people. If you're a Google Podcast subscriber, I thank you. And if you're a Google Podcast listener in general, I am stunned that you still have Google Podcasts.
And, of course, the OG Anchor, which we're recording this on.
Yep.
Got to give them a shout-out.
So we'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Lowe's.
Can I say one last thing? Johan, your sports takes are pretty bad. That's all I got to say.
Goodbye.